Hey, we're here with Sung, and we're talking about the diagnostics library for .NET Core. Come check it out. Hey, welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. Today we're going to be talking about the .NET Diagnostics Client with Sung. So how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll get into the topic.
Yeah, my name is Sung. I'm a developer on the .NET runtime team. I work on diagnostic support for the runtime and the BCL library, so system diagnostics tracing, some of the .NET CLI tools like .NET Trace and .NET Counters. Stuff like that.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about one of your packages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so what is it actually called?
It's called Microsoft Diagnostics .NET Core Client.
Okay, how do we go to the NuGet page so that people can, it's like, yeah, okay, there.
Yeah.
There it is. So it's Microsoft.diagnostics.netcore.client. Okay, mm-hmm. Right, so it's the diagnostics client for .NET Core from Microsoft.
Right,
okay,
yep.
That's what all those words mean.
Yep.
Okay, so it looks like it's still in preview. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Well, no, it's not version 1.0 yet, but it's out of preview.
So oh, it's stable.
It's still stable.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
Okay, so how about you tell us what this is for?
So this client library is for you to talk to the runtime using the diagnostics IPC protocol. So it allows you to communicate with CoreCLR for various diagnostics purposes, like starting a trace session, or taking a core dump, or attaching an iCore profiler.
Right, so this is for an out-of-process scenario.
Yep.
Yeah, so IPC, that's like inter-process communication,
yes,
is what that all means.
Yes.
So, so we have some in-process scenarios, mm-hmm, but you wouldn't use this for those.
Right, this is specifically for out-of-proc diagnostics tracing.
Right, but it's out-of-proc on the same machine. Like if you have some off-machine scenarios, do you use this too, or?
That's a really good question. So we have plans to make it available for container scenarios. So even if you're on different machines, you should be able to like use this library in the future. For now, this is just on the same machine.
Okay, and when you say container scenarios, do you mean like sidecars or do you mean something different?
Sidecars.
Okay, makes total sense. Okay, we kind of framed this. And I guess the other thing is, I know some of the details here since we work on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
But so you mentioned these, you know, .NET Core tools that you've built, like .NET Dump and .NET Collect and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, you had this private code that, you know, I mean, it's not private in the sense, like it's open source, but it was still a private implementation between those tools that you've built. And you basically pulled out that code and made a first class client library that both your own tools build, but other people can build tools,
right,
on. And I guess that's really what we're going to be talking about today, is how,
yep,
people would build their own diagnostic tools on top of this cool client library and how it's way easier because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, so do you have a demo or a tool that you've built?
Yeah, so I have a very simple looking custom tracer here that we'll be going through today. So one of the things that this library supports is starting a tracing session. So say you have your own eventing mechanism in your code, so writing your own event source, or say you want to consume any runtime events, then you could do that by starting a trace session. So this will kind of show you that. And have in here a event pipe provider. So this is using event pipe, which is a serialization mechanism for you to emit events out of your runtime.
Right, but the one, this, since this says Microsoft Windows .NET Runtime,
mm-hmm,
these are the ones that are inbox, the inbox,
yep,
events.
Exactly, so this is the runtime events.
Yeah, and also why does it say Windows on there? Are those?
That's a remnant from the .NET framework days. So
okay,
this provider existed from like .NET.
I see.
Framework.
So if you were using, would you run the same code on Linux? Like,
mm-hmm,
it would say the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have we thought about removing the Windows name? Or is that hard?
That might break back compatibility.
Okay. Maybe we could have an alias.
Yeah, maybe. We can think about that. But yeah, this is the runtime provider.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you can specify sort of like the event level. So like I can kind of like just write this from scratch to like show you what writing this would look like. So you can specify in here the name of the provider, and then you can specify like what level you want it to be. So there's all these kinds of different like event level that's accessible. So for example, if you want to make it like informational, then you can choose that. The keywords specify what kind of events you want to filter for. So let's say like in the runtime, there's a bunch of events like GC, the JIT, the loader. Say you only want like the GC events, for example, then you can specify to have just the GC events.
Right, and is that a performance win, having like specifying just the ones that you care about?
Right, that's how you would filter for just the events you care about, so that no additional payloads are getting created by the runtime.
Okay. So why do we have that cast there? Like, why is it the case that I assume that's an enum, the CLR events parser, or no,
so
or that's a property.
This is like this is an enum.
Yeah, that's an enum.
Yeah.
So why does it return the wrong value for what this thing expects?
So the protocol expects this to be a 64-bit number.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long type. This is kind of cheating because I already know like GC has keyword one. So like this is actually not inside the library we're talking about today.
Oh, okay.
This is defined in trace event. So the parser for these events is what defines these keywords.
Okay. Okay. Sounds like we got some API design left left to do in this space.
Yep. This will eventually have to like somehow get fleshed out. We have some issues with this keywords thing. The VCL library, there's some badly designed keywords hard coded in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's
not remove.
Let's not spend time on that. I'm probably not the only person that's thinking, that looks a little odd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's how you would specify, like, sort of the providers you want to listen for.
Okay.
And you can specify more than one provider, but we'll leave it at here for now.
Yeah, makes sense.
And you would then need to create a client. So this is the client that would talk to the diagnostics server that lives inside the runtime.
Yeah.
So you can specify using process ID.
Right, and you're obviously passing that process ID to this tool from the outset.
Yeah, so that I can, you know, just like start any process and sort of like attach to that.
Yeah.
And then I will start an event pipe session. So that takes in a parameter, which specifies which providers you want to listen for. Then this false is basically a whether you want to request rundown events. This is another like implementation detail kind of thing, but this event pipe will basically give you additional metadata at the end of a session.
And what would that look like?
That metadata contains various things like ready to run symbols. So without rundown, like you can't resolve framework symbols.
I see.
So the default is set to true, because if you don't know what you're doing, just set it to true. But in our case, we're just going to be printing out these events happening in real time, so we won't care about the rundown events.
Okay.
So we'll set it to false.
Okay. Sounds good.
And the next parameter is circular buffer size. So this is sort of the buffer that the runtime uses to store the events.
Right, and this is a buffer in memory.
Yeah. This is in memory of the target process.
Yeah. Right, because we're basically, this whole thing is we are using the diagnostics client, we're going to be asking the process to do additional work on our behalf.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the process will then allocate some amount of buffer for it to store the events in.
Yeah. And I would assume that when it's doing this additional work on our behalf, it's just doing this on, it's not creating new threads to do this. It's just doing this on whatever existing threads it's using.
Right. Yeah. So each thread will have its own buffer.
Yeah. Okay. Like that. That's good to know. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And once you start the session, that's going to give you back a EventPipe session object. And that session object represents a single EventPipe session. So you can do things with it. There are a couple of things that are exposed via this class. One of them is the event stream. And so this is the stream object that the EventPipe tracing session will emit events to.
Okay.
So here I'm using a class called EventPipe event source, which is defined in TraceEvent library, which is not what I'm here to talk about. But because this library is what you use to parse the events, sort of have to use it if you want to print the events in real time.
So it's basically the deserializer?
Yep, this is the deserializer for what gets serialized from the runtime.
Right. And so you and I were actually talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. So you only need that deserializer for the out-of-proc scenarios. If you're using EventPipe in proc, then you don't need all of that stuff because you can get them pre-serialized in their raw form, and you don't need any of that.
You would just simply use Event Listener API. So instead of like creating this, it's much easier for you to use Event Listener. That's what it was designed for.
Makes sense. Okay, well, let's try and quickly get through the rest of this and then actually see the demo in progress.
Yeah, so this is also trace event stuff. It allows you to add a callback on every CLR event that happens. So the source.clr.all.
I see, so that's the thing that will allow us to print as events comes in, as opposed to waiting until the end.
Yeah, okay. So this will like console write line on every event name that gets parsed in.
It literally says assist that right there.
Yeah. So source.process will then like start this session. And we can sort of see.
Okay, so that's basically the flow.
Yeah.
That's actually really simple.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you have to do to like get a live print of all those CLR events.
Okay, can you show us?
Yeah. So I have a, this is just web API.
Yeah, so we're gonna start an app.
We'll start that and start another command session and go to,
it's taking a very long time to start.
Yeah, I wonder why. Oops, there's some code that I meant to comment out down here. Yep, 116, so let me just comment this out for now.
Okay. Okay, that's much better.
Okay, so we have that running, and after that,
right. So this is our tool.
Yeah, this is our tool.
So now we don't have the PID yet, right?
Yeah. So I will get the PID.
Okay.
So this PS also has some code in here, like that part. We have a get published processes API in the client. It's a static method you can use to get all the process IDs that are running compatible .NET process.
Oh, I see. So it's already filtered down.
Right. So it'll filter like all the processes that have the diagnostic server running.
Okay. So that all makes sense. Now let's see this in action. Mm-hmm. So what kind of app? Yeah, right. We already have a web app running.
Yep.
So let's get that going.
Let's run this web app.
Yeah. And then this is a web API, so we're going to have to hit a particular endpoint in the browser.
Yep.
So do you have one pre-selected?
So I have a endpoint that I wrote for that will leak memory on purpose. So we can see some GCs happening.
Okay, and then also we need to start the diagnostic, your tool,
right?
The one that you showed us.
Yep.
But presumably we need to find out the PID somehow.
Yep, so I have a PS command I added in here that will print out all the compatible runtimes. So
right, so there's a subset of processes on the machine. It's all the .NET core processes that have the diagnostic server running.
Yep, so anything above 3.0.
Okay, including 3.0?
Including 3.0.
Okay,
yep.
3.0 and above.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So this is another reason for people to upgrade to 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
You get this scenario.
Right, so a lot of diagnostic support was added from 3.0.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so .NET run, and then it's 12.5.9.6.
So that's started a session.
Okay, so now we can go do the thing.
Now we just need to leak some memory for GCs to kick in. So the number that I'm going to give is how much bytes I want to allocate. So say I give it like 50,000, then that should have leaked some memory. And you can see some GC events that happened. So you'll see like GC was triggered because it ran out of heap space, then it suspended the EE, then...
And EE in this case means execution engine.
The execution engine, the runtime, rest of the runtime had to stop, and then GC started and started marking things. And once it was done marking, it printed some heap history stuff. Then the GC finished, and it printed some heap stats. Then the EE was started again, and finalizers kicked in.
Okay.
So we can see GC events happening.
Now, with each one of these events, is there more information that's available if we wanted it?
Mm-hmm. So this is just currently we're just printing the names of these things. So we can see that we're just printing the event name.
I see.
But we could theoretically print all the payload.
Okay. Right, because in and of itself, I think there's very few developers that are going to
find this useful.
Yeah, find that particular information useful.
Yeah.
Other than just learning about the runtime behavior.
Sure. You can definitely convert these into actual traces and feed them in Purview, something like that.
I see.
And they'll give you more information about each of these events.
Right. So imagine you did want to load these traces in a separate tool.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a simpler, because you could just take all this information and save it, but is there a simpler way to just say, I want to create this trace, I want it saved to a file so that I can open it in another tool?
Yep. You can do that. I can actually show you how to do that. That's the next demo, which is tracing for a certain duration. So we have similar looking code here, pretty much identical, except now we have something called the sample profiler as another event pipe provider that's added to our request. And this is a CPU sampler in the runtime. So it'll take a managed snapshot of your stack and do that every 10 milliseconds.
Mm, I think you really mean a snapshot of your managed
stack. Snapshot of your managed stack, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that provider will get turned on if you specify this.
Okay, that sounds useful. Mm-hmm. I can pretty much read the code, what it's doing. You're basically just, writing all this stuff to a file.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you going to show us that? That demo?
I will quit out of that. And instead of print event, what I used here is, I think, trace. Yep. Trace, same PID.
And then we just have to specify the duration?
Maybe we'll give it 30 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, yikes.
Okay.
I have a... Oops. Index off by one. Okay.
Apparently this tool hasn't gone to production just yet.
Oh, of course. I just wrote this morning.
Okay. Okay, so should we hit the endpoint again?
So let's hit, make some GCs happen.
Yeah. So while we're waiting for that, mm-hmm. Two questions. One is, are there any people that you're working with maybe that actually build, you know, for pay diagnostics tools or open source diagnostic tools that are, you know, are using these APIs?
Yeah, so my team currently builds four .NET CLI tools.
People not on your team.
Not on my team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Like, does Visual Studio use these in any places?
VS is planning to use this for their Linux scenarios.
Okay.
So right now they're on ETW, but once they enable the Linux scenarios, their profilers might be using this to connect to Linux profile.
Yeah, I know there's this one company who I won't name that we're working with. Like, it's mm-hmm. just a user of .NET Core. They don't sell diagnostic tools or anything. Mm-hmm. And they made a pretty heavy use of event pipe for Linux scenarios as well. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so is that done?
Yep, that should have done it. There is trace in here.
Okay, it looks like it's 3 megabytes.
Yep. So we can use Perfview, which is a tool I use to view these files.
And this is open source on GitHub.
Yep.
So you can
download it on GitHub. You can build it yourself.
Yeah. Whatever you want.
Yep. So. And there's that file. We can open that up and. First, we can just check if there are the events.
So it looks like there are.
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to look at like sort of some of the events that we saw earlier, you can just sort of like see that kind of stuff. And this shows like more.
Right, how much time we spent in all those things.
Yeah, and like when it started, like timestamps, whether like other metadata about the event, so like why this GC was triggered and like.
Right, so I assume some event types actually are, you can print pretty pictures with them, like this is all just pure information.
Yeah, this is just pure information, but theoretically you could go to like a memory group and then this would show you like different stats about like GC, for example. This does a special parsing on just the GC events.
Okay.
And it like prints this kind of like stats on it.
Okay, so some of them are, easier to view.
And you can look at thread time as well. Some missing symbols, but this is, you see what took place during that 30 seconds. And it'll show, I always get
right. Rid of so this, now we're kind of more capable of doing an actual investigation.
Right.
Performance investigation.
But yeah, so right now there aren't that much happening because we're just triggering a lot of GC. Mm-hmm. So most of the time is spent in unmanaged code time.
Yeah, so. Understood. That's kind of particular to the scenario we picked.
Right. But theoretically, it should print like which managed code is spending most of your time.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, this was awesome. So where would you suggest people go to get started?
So we have a documentation on our diagnostics repo.
Okay, how about we show people where that is?
Yeah, so this is where my team spends most of our day. And you can go to the documentation, and there is a API documentation for this library. And here I have some sample code as well that you can just take and compile and they should work.
If not, file an issue.
If not, yeah, file an issue and I'll probably get back to you within minutes.
Okay, then you really do spend your whole day there. Okay, awesome. Well, this is like a whole new scenario that we really never had before. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, this is another reason to update to the latest version of .NET Core. Yep. So you can use tools that you find that use this client library or build your own.
Yep.
And basically be a bit more kind of like, self-directed, self-help for diagnosing some of your performance issues.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, well, this has been another episode of the .NET show, and so today we talked about the diagnostic client library for .NET Core. Thanks.
Thank you.